Thank you and good afternoon. Thomas Jefferson said, "The first and almost the only book deserving of universal attention is the Bible." We appreciate the opportunity of being with you today. We're glad again to be able to study from God's Word. We're glad you're listening to Bible Meditations. Please tell others about our program, and we'd like to do what we can in studying the Word of God and committing its principles to our lives. All right, let's return now to our study, and we're looking at the statement, according to the pattern. Do you remember in Hebrews 8 and verse 5, Moses was told that he build the tabernacle according to the pattern shown unto him in the mount? That simply means God had a pattern, and man was expected to follow that pattern. We were looking yesterday at the fact that God has given a pattern for worship unto him. Not everything that people do in worship pleases God, even though it might be directed in the right direction. Unless it is in spirit and in truth, it doesn't meet the requirement of acceptable worship. God has many times turned down the worship that men offer unto him. We're being told in the religious world today that just anything anybody does in religion is all right, and God will accept anything. However, we were looking at John 4 and verse 24. In a discussion with the woman of Samaria, our Master made it clear that in order for worship to please God, two things must be true. It must be in spirit, and it must be in truth. We defined the worship as being in spirit when it comes from the heart. It is something we think about seriously, and it comes from our thinking, from our mind. The Bible heart is not the blood pump. The Bible heart is the intellect and the emotion of mankind, having to do with our thinking. So when we sing a song of praise to God, we need to be thinking about what we're saying. When we offer our worship unto him and involve ourselves in the communion service, we need to be thinking about the right thing and keep our mind on that. All right, the second thing that he said was that it must be in truth. To define in truth, we simply look at John 17, verse 17, "Sanctify them by thy truth, thy word is truth." All right, there's the definition then in regard to truth. The Word of God is truth, and that simply means that what we do in our worship then must be from the Word of God. We're not talking about worship that a person makes up his own mind he's going to do. We're talking rather about worship that God has given unto us or told us that this kind of worship pleases him and meets his approval. So the Word of God is the truth. When we ask a person, "What are you doing in your worship?" they ought to be able to say, "Here's what I'm doing," and then give the verse of Scripture that authorizes their doing so. The fact is, there are many people in religion doing many things without biblical authority. That is, there is nowhere in the Bible that they can find the authority for what they're practicing. They just simply think, "Well, if I'm offering it to God, God will be happy with it." But that certainly is not the case. The Bible teaches that God accepts worship which is in truth. When I tell you that I'm doing a thing in my worship to God, I need to be able to point out, this is what the apostles did, or this is what the brethren did in the first century as the Lord authorized them to do so, because they followed the pattern. A pattern was given in regard to the worship that they offered unto him. Now, the worship that you read about in the New Testament involves five different actions, five things that were done which constitute worship in truth. So let's look at those things and see what we can find along this line. First of all, the singing of songs of praise to God was a part of the makeup of the early church. They sang and offered their praise to their Father in heaven. Many New Testament passages point out the fact that they sang and made melody in their heart to the Lord. The Ephesian letter, chapter 5, and verse 19, says, "Speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with melody in your heart to the Lord." Almost the same quotation is in the Colossian letter, chapter 3, and verse 16, when the record says that we are to sing with grace in our heart unto the Lord. Well, certainly singing then is authorized in New Testament worship. What was the pattern of that singing? They sang psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. In following the pattern that is laid down in the New Testament, then we would sing songs of praise unto God. There are many people in the religious world today who look with wonder when they see that there are some people who just simply sing and make the melody in their heart to the Lord in their worship to God. The reason being, somehow or other, someone got the idea that it is authorized and a part of the pattern to use a piano, an organ, or some instrumental music accompaniment to the worship that is offered unto God. Notice the word sing is easily understood. In the English, you don't have any problem if somebody tells you, "I'm going to sing a song." Now, you don't think he's going to play it, you think he's going to sing it. And there's quite a difference there. But someone says it's all right as an aid for a person to use an instrument in worship unto God. My friends, it is totally without Bible authority. Where is the passage in the New Testament that authorizes anything other than singing? Now, I know the argument that is commonly used would be something like this. Well, where does the Bible say you're not to do it? Well, have you ever thought about the import of that statement? Where does the Bible say not to do a certain thing? Where does the Bible say don't offer animal sacrifice in New Testament worship? Is there a verse like that? Where does the Bible say, as a part of New Testament worship, you must not burn incense? Does the Bible say that? The Bible doesn't have to say what we're not to do. It tells us what we're to do. A very simple illustration is found in regard to the building of the ark. The ark was built of gopher wood. God didn't say, don't make it out of oak, or don't make it out of poplar, or don't make it out of some other kind of wood. God just said gopher wood. Well, the fact that he said gopher wood excluded any other kind of wood. There are just two kinds of music that can be produced. One is vocal, the other is instrumental. Now, which one did God authorize? God did not say, "I want music in the church." God said, "Sing." And that's what we have read in the passages just a few moments ago. All of the passages in the New Testament that talk about their worship refer to their singing. So, that which is authorized is the singing. To say God didn't say not to do something else falls far short, because God does not have to list everything that he doesn't want in order for me to know what to do. All he has to do is tell me what he wants me to do, and so he has said, sing. In ordering something from a catalog, do you have to list everything that you don't want in the catalog? Or is it enough to say, I have one particular thing that I want? Well, we understand that. Why is it then that God would need to say, thou shalt not, in regard to what he does not want, Isn't it enough for him to tell us what he does want in worship to him? You see the pattern, Matthew chapter 26 and verse 30, they sang an hymn and went out to the Mount of Olives. The disciples followed the Lord's pattern. We appreciate this opportunity of study and invite you to be with us tomorrow. In the meantime, remember, it was Jesus who said, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved." We now return you.